they did in 2 minutes what I'm spending 9 weeks doing. Excellent. Thank you all very much. Y'all come on down for our children's moments. Aha. Now, we'll do the noisy offering here in a second, but we've got Miss Marie Harper has something here in the bag for us to consider. Oh, all right. Nice. Okay, so way back in the day, I had a friend, David Vitito, who always had perfect attendance. He had one of these things. It went all the way down to his knees. I'm not joking. They used to give these out for Sunday school attendance, correct? Yes. And so this one, third year, fourth year, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, perfect attendance for 8 years. How many of y'all have had perfect attendance for 8 years? How many of y'all are 8 years old? That's kind of what I figured. These used to be, I remember they used to hand these out. They'd hand them out during church. I never got one because we always went on vacation at least 1 week a year so my dad could keep me from getting one, I think. What did you do? Everyone wore dresses? Except the guy. Okay, good. Thank you for the clarification there. Yeah, I was getting a little nervous. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's good. Cool. This is awesome. This brings back some memories for sure. Very cool. Thank you very much. So, be present. We won't give you anything, but we want you to be here. All right? All right. We'll find somebody to get the bag next time. Now, guess what today is? Noisy offering. That's right. Now, I'm going to hand you all each one of these buckets. Hold on. Let's go in order here. All right, you guys go and collect some change. There you go. All right. Whoa, all right. You want to pour it in there? Keeping those. Rolades. Fruity flavor. These are staying with me. All right, y'all make sure. Is there anybody that hasn't been gotten yet? They haven't come around yet? Anyone? You want to? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's nice. All right, has everyone ponied up? All right. Look at that. Wow. Oh, hold on. Here, all right, the rest of y'all that don't have, here. Oh, yes, we can't. I'm intrigued by that. All right, come on, bring your bucket over here. You guys watch out so everyone can bring their buckets over. Guys, watch out, guys. All right, come on over. And pour it in there. All right. Here. All right. Watch out. All right. Come on. What? Yeah. Just put it in there. All right. Pour it in. Don't pour it in. Don't grab each one individually. All right. Come on. Watch out, guys. Watch out. Oh, I see that. Okay. You can have that. That's fine. All right. No. You can't have that. You can have the blue stone that was in there. All right. You guys did an excellent job. We got a few extra items. We got some Rolades, fruit flavored, which I will keep, Canadian dollar, and a Turkish something or other, 10-cent piece. Luckily there were no Snickersteins in there. Y'all know what a Snickersteen is? It's a long knife, so luckily it wasn't in there. All right, yeah, we'll hold on to that too. All right, we're going to pray. Thank you all very much. Hold on. We're going to pray. Hold on. Guys, slow down, please. All right, let's pray, okay? Oh, thank you. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we thank you for this change and the opportunity we have to use it for your purposes and to further your love and grace to others. We thank you for these children, for their excitement, for their joy, for the wonderful song that they sang, and for their willingness to help collect this change. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. You guys can go to Children's Church. Does anyone know what the exchange rate is with Canada? Because we got about $3 in Canadian coins here. Is it, huh? 85%, give or take. All right. Well, there you go. Go team. All right. Our scripture lesson this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Today we're going to look at the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians, and next week we'll pick up in verse 12 and continue on in this chapter. Today we are talking about goodness. We've been looking at the different fruit of the Spirit. If you would, please go to the next slide. If you'll remember what we've been looking at thus far, love is the initiation of God's presence in us. It is God's to give, and God gives it to us. And so love initiated grows. As it expands, it begins to encompass joy, which is our expression of God's love. The peace that we receive, which we get from God and then we offer to others and we bring to others when we come to them. Patience is that waiting on God and that non-anxious presence in the midst of all of the things that can make us anxious and nervous and a little less than kind to others. And then last week we looked at kindness. And we focused on seeing the value in other people and recognizing the fact that Christ is kind, and as such, we are called to be a kind people. And all of these continue to build on one another, and today we are going to consider goodness. And we're going to talk a little about what that means and how we can apply that to our lives. So, as we consider goodness this morning, I want us to hear from God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Brothers and sisters, I want to call your attention to the good news that I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand. You are being saved through it if you hold on to the message I preached to you, unless somehow you believed it for nothing. I passed on to you as most important what I also received. Christ died for our sins in line with the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose on the third day in line with the Scriptures. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at once. Most of them are still alive to this day, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me as if I was born at the wrong time. I'm the least important of the apostles. I don't deserve to be called an apostle because I harassed God's church. I am what I am by God's grace, and God's grace hasn't been for nothing. In fact, I have worked harder than all the others. That is, it wasn't me, but the grace of God that was in me. So then, whether you heard the message from me or them, this is what we preach, and this is what you have believed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for your love and your grace, for all that you do for us. We thank you for the reading and hearing of this, your word, and we pray that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. On your bulletin cover this morning, you'll see a quote by John Wesley. This is John Wesley's rule: to do all the good you can to all the people you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, in all the times that you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. It's a good rule. It's a good rule to live by. So I offer that to you to consider and to be mindful of. And as we consider goodness this morning, as we consider these words by John Wesley and other words of goodness, I want us to be mindful of a few things, of what we're talking about when we talk about goodness. Because when you get to goodness and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness, some of these, they almost seem similar. And so we want to draw out what the differences are, and I think what they're trying to tell us and what makes them distinct. And so there are a few things for us to consider with goodness. And the first thing that we want to be mindful of is that this goodness God is calling us to, I believe, is the goodness that God claimed over creation in Genesis. Now, we remember in chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis, as God is creating the world, after he creates something, what does he call it? Good. It is good. It is good. He creates something and it is good. The sun and the moon and the stars, the waters, the mountains, the trees. When he creates humanity, he calls us good. And when he was done creating everything, he proclaimed that it was very good. And there is a sense of goodness about what God does. I'm sure we can think of different good things that God has done in our lives, different good things that we are so appreciative of and so grateful for. And our being created is certainly one of those. So I believe this goodness that he's calling to is calling us back to the goodness of creation, the goodness of God's plan A, the goodness of his original intent for life as we see it in Genesis 1 and 2. The second thing about goodness that we need to be mindful of, and we've kind of alluded to, is that it does not come from us. We are not good in and of ourselves. We are good because we have been created by a good God. It is his grace that makes us good. We remember the story of Jesus and the rich young ruler, and he comes up to him and he calls him good teacher, and Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." And I think there he's making a statement on our reality, on our fallen nature, on the fact that we had the opportunity to be good and we chose something. Now, that does not mean that we cannot be good, but it is not derived from us. Rather, it comes from the one who created us. As his image bearers, as those who are created in God's image, we have the capacity for goodness. Paul mentions in verse 10, "I am what I am by God's grace." It is God's grace that makes him good. Paul kind of takes a line, it seems, from Popeye. I am what I am, right? I am what I am, and I am that because of God, because God has created me, because God's grace has begun to fill my life, and I have begun to change who I was to become the goodness that God wants me to be. So goodness relates back to God's original intent. It doesn't come from us, it comes from God. And then finally, as followers of Jesus, we are responsible for sharing God's good news with the world. There is a responsibility that we have to share that good news. And isn't it interesting how good news and goodness kind of sound similar in the English language? The English language doesn't always get it right. But I think here we have something that seems right. Good news and goodness seem so similar, at least in the way that they are pronounced. And I wonder this morning, are we prepared to share the good news through our goodness, through the goodness that God has given to us, and the goodness He calls us into. This good news that Paul is sharing is simple news. It is not complex news. It is not something you need advanced degrees to understand. It is simple news, but it is good, and it has a profound impact on the lives of those who hear it and those who receive it. How many of us this morning recognize the great, profound impact of the good news in our life? Fewer than I was expecting. That's all right. This good news has affected us profoundly, and it should continue to affect us. And I want us to simply bask and revel in the goodness and the good news of God that Paul declares. Because again, it is very simple, but it is very good. And so I want us to consider how good God is. And as we do so, as we recount the things that God has done, so we begin to see how He calls us to share this goodness, this good news with others. The first thing we see in verse 2, Paul says that we are being saved by the good news if we hold on to what we've been taught. How many of us this morning here have been taught the good news? Even if you didn't have perfect attendance for 8 years, surely you heard of God's good news in Sunday school. You heard it maybe from your parents or from your Sunday school teacher or your grandparents or your aunts or uncles or your friends or somebody, and you've heard this good news. It has been taught to you. That's why you're here. Maybe it's still being taught. Hopefully it's still being taught to you. And this good news saves us. That's what makes the news so good. And we have here specifically the good news Paul is teaching the Corinthians and reminding them of. And in verse 3, he says, Jesus died for our sins in accordance or in line with the Scriptures. That's good news. Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. The death of the Messiah has been foretold. All throughout the Old Testament, we have the prophets and the priests and the people God has set apart telling them of the coming of the Messiah, this good news that is on the way. And in the New Testament, we have Paul and others sharing of the good news that has been and that continues to matter in our lives today. In Genesis 15, I think we have the initial kind of focus of this good news of the Messiah coming to be that sacrifice for us. We have God setting up covenant with Abraham. And I know I've shared this with you before, but it bears repeating. In that time when you were making covenant, you would take these different animals, and Abraham takes a goat, a sheep, and some birds, and he splits them in half, and he lays them down in a line. And what you would do when you were making covenant with somebody is the two of you, after putting the contract together, would walk through these pieces. And in effect, what you are saying is, if I don't hold up my end of the bargain, you are free to dispose of me as these animals have been disposed of. It's serious business to make a covenant. And when God makes this covenant with Abraham, we see that Abraham does not go through these pieces, but only God. And so what God is saying is that if he doesn't hold up his end of the bargain, we can put God through. But because Abraham doesn't go through there, God is also saying that if we don't hold up to our end of the bargain, God is going to be put. Now what happens in Jesus Christ? God is put to death. The sacrifice is made. Jesus is God, and he is man, and he comes and he fulfills this broken covenant for our sins, because of our sins, and in order to free us from those sins. All of these things point to the goodness of God in Jesus Christ, who came and died. That's not the end of the story. Because if that were the end of the story, the news wouldn't be so great. it would just be me. He goes on in verse 4. Jesus, after he died, was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. He conquered death. He gets up and he goes and he shares this resurrection with the disciples. And Jesus alludes to this even in his own ministry. He speaks of Jonah and how Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, and he likens this to what will happen with him in his death and resurrection. He shares with the priests and the Levites and the Sadducees and all those people that you can destroy this temple, but in 3 days I'll raise it up. They're thinking it took us forever to build it. Right? Because they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. The good news is that Jesus died, that Jesus was buried, and that Jesus rose again. All of this is in line with what Scripture says. All of this is consistent with what we see before and after this event in Scripture. All of this is the good news, and we have to take the bad aspects of it along with the great aspects of it to make it the good news that it is, the news that we are saved by God's grace, the news that we do not have to die because Christ has died on our behalf, the fact that because Jesus rose again as the first fruits, we have the opportunity to share in that resurrection. We have an opportunity to have life everlasting with God. Paul goes on to talk about how Jesus appeared to Peter. He came to Peter and he told him what happened after his death and resurrection. He appears to the 12. He appears to more than 500 brothers and sisters. He appears to James, his brother, who would become an early leader in the church. He appears to the apostles, and finally he appears to Paul. And we have that account in Acts chapter 9, and then Paul tells it two other times in Acts. And Paul says, he comes to me as if I was one that was untimely born. And of course he's referring to the fact that he wasn't as old as these other apostles. He wasn't there when all of these things were happening. He was still in school, still doing things. And because Paul was untimely born, because he wasn't born in there, he heard this from Jesus. He is affirmed in this by others. Those of us here today, like Paul, are untimely born. We didn't witness these things with our eyes the way that Peter and the apostles did. But thanks be to God, Jesus has told us this. And he has used us to share this good news. We are here today, first of all, because of Jesus Christ. We are here today because somebody decided to share that good news with us. Somebody was good towards us and took the responsibility of sharing this good news with us. As we put our faith in Christ, we grow in goodness. We can't help but grow in goodness because Christ is good, because God is good. And as he continues to pour himself into us, what do you think is going to happen? We're going to get gooder and gooder and gooder. Hold on, teachers. It's all right. But remember, this wasn't in the English language first. Got to appropriate. As we continue to grow in the grace of God in our lives, we must embrace the goodness of God in us. Seeing what Christ has done, believing what Christ has done, sharing what Christ has done, and we do so through the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just enough for Jesus to come and to die and to rise again, but the Holy Spirit comes to tell us these things, to help us understand this good news, to help us understand that this good news needs to be shared. It needs to be told. Goodness needs to spread. And we have the opportunity to do that. We have the responsibility to do that. And that is our good work. That is how we show goodness to others, by being good by sharing that good news, by living into the image of God that is in each and every one of us, and recognizing His grace as He shows us what that looks like. Goodness is the result of love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. And as we embrace and encompass these things in our lives, goodness will be the natural byproduct of the good news is the result of God's love, God's joy, God's peace, God's patience, and God's kindness. These are all things that we have received, that He has freely given, and He expects us to share that with others. Ladies and gentlemen, we worship the good God this morning. God is good. All the time. And guess what? We should be. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, for Your love and grace, for Your goodness. We pray that we would seek to be good in everything we do, that we would seek that goodness, knowing that it is a gift from You, and it can only be received when we spend that time when we hunger and thirst for You. Guide us, God, in Your goodness. Give us the words of Your good news to share with others so they may come to know Your goodness. And we ask all of these